This is Jeff Davis with the Alignment Podcast, where we explore sales and marketing alignment strategy for B2B businesses. Make sure to visit jeffdavis2.com for all things alignment. Now let's talk about how to create togetherness.
In this episode, I speak with Maggie Safro, CEO of Mayors Kunto, located in London. She's a passionate author, speaker, advisor, and consultant that focuses on business transformation, growth, and peak performance. In our conversation, we discuss the importance of tying alignment efforts to corporate strategy to get CEO and stakeholder buy-in, the most important KPIs to focus on for aligned revenue growth, the fact that alignment should start with decoding the buyer's journey together, and what question the CEO should be asking every head of sales and marketing. With that said, let's jump into the episode. Maggie, thank you for joining the program.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. It's a pleasure.
I am really excited to have a conversation with you today. It seems from your consulting background and your professional work and expertise, you will really be able to help our listeners from a strategic standpoint really understand how they should be thinking about this sales and marketing alignment thing. So with that said, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and why your focus on sales and marketing alignment.
So, as you said, Jeff, my name is Maggie Safro. I'm an author, a speaker, and an advisor and a mentor for business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals. And I normally work with them because they say to me that I help them explode their sales revenue or I help them attain their highest potential, which is fantastic. So over the last 15 years or so, I've been really, really passionate about, you know, sales and marketing alignment, because it came as a direct result of, you know, what I was doing and what I was observing in the business world. So my background has been a combination of consulting, business advisory, B2B sales and marketing roles, as well as leadership roles. But I've had the opportunity to, you know, observe how the buyer especially is evolving and how businesses are evolving, you know, in alignment with the buyer, but also importantly, looking at this from the perspective of how decisions are being made, both from, you know, the external world as well as from the internal business world. And it all comes back to the same thing, you know, collaboration and alignment, especially between sales and marketing, is simply the way forward if businesses are looking to grow.
Was there any pivotal moment in your career or professional experience when you said, sales and marketing have got to learn to work together because this is not working? What was the moment that you knew this needed to happen?
It started off about 10 years ago when I was getting more and more involved, you know, with, you know, leadership decisions that affected, you know, what I was selling to these businesses. And increasingly, I was finding that it wasn't necessarily, you know, a one-man show anymore. You know, finances were getting tight. And as a result, businesses, or especially the leadership teams, were coming together to make decisions in terms of how they were going to spend their money. But then I realized that, you know, even though this was happening to some extent, there wasn't that joint front, you know, especially from the sales and marketing front, to actually then go out and win that sales number. So that's when I realized that, no, there's something's got to change. And it happened so many times when you're having kind of a consulting conversation and the stories do differ. The messages do differ. And then it makes you wonder what client, you know, is experiencing or what they're thinking, you know, from that, you know, sitting out of that equation and then looking back into the organization that they're looking on to serve them. So, yeah, so just disparities and, you know, different messages coming from different parts of the organization, or what, you know, pointed to the fact that no alignment needs to work if we're looking at exponential growth within our businesses.
Makes sense. I think my aha moment actually happened when I was in sales and had a conversation with the director of marketing, which I had never had before. Our manager at the time brought that person into our sales meeting, and we were launching a new initiative for the field. It was a new sales tool that was created by marketing, and the marketing director actually explained to us the rationale and the thinking behind this particular program, but then went further to actually explain to us how it would make it easier for us to sell to our customers. And that's when I got it. I said, this is what I've been missing. Like, I never understood that marketing was actually doing things to help us and that we could partner together to be able to close more business. So for me, that was my aha moment. It really probably was a moment I started doing work in this space. So I'll pivot a little bit because I think as a consultant, you know, I always love having great conversations with folks like yourself because you get to see different industries and really see different parts of the business where sometimes people only see their industry or only see their job function. Are there any particular industries you feel that are more open to alignment and are kind of the forefront of this move to aligning sales and marketing? And are there others that you say they're, you know, 5-10 years behind? What have you seen from an industry standpoint?
So I've been pretty much cross industry over the years, whereas in the last few years, I've had the opportunity to focus a lot more on technology and kind of B2B high growth companies. And from that perspective, I'll say that I do find that the technology world, they do find this very quickly, you know, as they decide to grow and because they are in a fast-paced environment of their growth. I think they do find it out quite quickly, you know, as part of the growth journey that, you know, alignment is key if they're supposed to, you know, get anywhere quite fast. So that is one industry that I'll say from my observation and experience with, they recognize the importance of alignment. That's not to say it's happening very quickly. I would say it probably happens a lot quicker with the small organizations because obviously it's easier for them to turn a wheel compared to the larger big boys. Whereas on the other end of the industry scale, if I looked at kind of manufacturing, for instance, then I find that they take much longer to actually see what is happening, you know, at the strategic level when it comes to alignment. Conversations have started and, you know, it's improving. But yeah, that's my personal observation.
So if you're talking to those industries, so let's take manufacturing, for instance, if you feel that they might be a little bit further behind the curve, how do you help the executive team, especially the CEO, understand what are the business problems being caused by misalignment? How do we pull it out and say these are the things that are happening because sales and marketing are not aligned?
So and that's why I love talking to the CEO or, you know, whoever is the boss in charge all the time, because it makes life easier. You know, you start and get the story from that end, and then you get the stories from, you know, everyone else who reports to the CEO. And then based on that, I then look at where the sales and marketing alignment or where the gaps are, and then go back to, you know, feedback to them as a team, and then we can look to, you know, look at how we can take this apart and bring it back together in a way that aligns with the corporate strategy. And I would say here as well is an angle that I look at, you know, after looking at the sales and marketing alignment and how this is impacting growth, both in terms of the sales number as well as other aspects of growth. Is look at other adjacent departments. So I do sometimes look at services because, you know, customer services should be carrying the same message. And, you know, if they're not talking to marketing either, then it's going to cause some problems, even for the salespeople, especially if sales is also handing over the new business deals to customer services or someone else to manage the accounts. So how I approach it is pretty simple. So I speak to the CEO first. I then speak to the individual departmental heads with a focus on growth and how sales and sales strategy is directly aligning to the corporate strategy. I then look at it from a marketing perspective and how this enablement is happening. I think most of the time, so long as I can help them see what is in it for both parties or for each individual department, and the conversations get better because, again, and that's why the alignment to the corporate strategy is really important. If there's a KPI that aligns both the sales and marketing teams directly to the CEO, and they both recognize that that's helping them achieve what they set out to do from the start of the year, then it's easier for them. So that is what I normally try to facilitate in my conversations. So I get the buy-in for us to then move forward in confidence.
And in your experience, Eric, typically, what are those KPIs? What are those three or five KPIs that you're seeing repeatedly that as you're having those conversations with CEOs, you're identifying to say, if we do this the right way, these are the changes you'll see in these, like I said before, three to five business KPIs. What are those?
I would say the first one would be, you know, the growth number. So, I mean, that is a hard number, but it's got to be fulfilled, right? So that's the hard number. And, you know, the organization would normally see that number as belonging to sales. And then you have, you know, softer KPIs for, I'll say, marketing, although that is increasingly changing because a lot of marketers and CMOs are now being taxed with, you know, lead generation targets and targets that are more kind of tangible compared to the brand awareness KPIs that they used to have. So the hard growth number is a key KPI, as we all know. If we look at other KPIs, then we're looking at softer KPIs like the brand awareness, you know, conditioning the marketplace, the go-to-market strategies, and what activities come together to make this happen. So those are some of the key KPIs. There are others as well in terms of, you know, how do they want to be seen in the outside world? So especially from the client or a prospect perspective, you know, what is the positioning of the company? You know, what is the message they want the customers to start recognizing them by? And what activities have to happen internally for this to be projected in the outside world and for customers to then start playing that back to the organization, which is focused around growth. So yeah, those are, I'll say, the three main that I find work well. And then you, depending on the organization, you're looking at KPIs that are aligned more to product or service. What do they want to be known as, first of all, and what internal activities should happen and how are they measuring this to say that they actually, you know, aligning to that KPI that they set out to do. So those are a few things. I will say it differs from one organization to the other.
Which is expected.
Absolutely. So that's why personally I would normally look at it from across the board, looking at the corporate strategy first of all, and looking at how this impacts marketing, sales, customer services, products, if they've got one, and sometimes strategy. So the rest of the executives, what are they taxed with and how can we break this down into tangible KPIs that all of them can buy into and then feed back into the corporate strategy for the CEO to be happy.
Now, you mentioned the prospect journey. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about how does this alignment process, because I do believe that it helps our sales colleagues prospect better and more efficiently. How does alignment affect the prospect journey in us understanding it?
So the prospect journey is increasingly becoming, you know, one of the most important things, especially I mentioned earlier about the buyer evolving. So we look at the prospect journey, but it doesn't even end there. So the prospect journey then morphs into the client journey, assuming they become clients. And this is a good place for sales and marketing to play really well and to know that they complement each other as departments. And what I find works really well is when you have sales and marketing sitting down to map that end-to-end prospect journey and the end-to-end client journey, and then agreeing on which parts or which team or teams own certain parts of that journey along the way. So, you know, looking at every part of the journey and then looking at which team or teams collaborate or own that stage of that journey and how that impacts, again, the overall sales growth number as well as any other key targets that they're looking to achieve internally.
Interesting. So one of the reasons that I started this work is that I think for a lot of executives, you know, both the VP of sales, CMO, the CEO, it's really difficult with so many B2B tech solutions out here and strategies, ABM, et cetera. There's just so much to do, right? And so I love the fact that you mentioned that potentially starting with the prospect journey is a way to get sales and marketing working together to in a really small way, but something that will have a significant impact. Mm-hmm. When you talk to an executive team, mm-hmm. where do they begin? So let's say you've convinced the team that this is something they should do. They understand the impact it's going to have, you know, on the bottom line, and all those strategic mm-hmm. conversations are going well. And then at the end, they say, well, what do we do tomorrow? What advice would you give that team?
I take them a step back, really, to go back and re-examine who their target audience is again. In some instances, the target audience may have moved or changed, and they may not have necessarily realized that. So they may be, you know, be focusing on doing things that suited a particular target audience in the past, and maybe they have new markets target audiences in, and they haven't really realized, or the original target audience has actually evolved, and they haven't really looked at that either. So I take them a step back to look at the target audience, and then honing back on the major problem, the number one problem that this target audience or audiences have, and you know, how they can position themselves as the solution to solve that problem. Then based on that, marketing and sales can work together to then look at the message. And then it's then easier for, you know, for sales to then take it back and look at how does that fit into our sales cycles, our sales conversations, and, you know, at what point do we involve marketing along the way? So I would say no matter how the conversations start and what we end up agreeing, we start implementation by going back to the buyer and re-identifying or reinforcing the target audience, the major problem they have, and how we can position our company or the company I'm working with as the solution to move forward. And obviously, you know, there's competition everywhere. So looking at how best to look at the competitive positioning statements so that, you know, you get win-win conversations in the marketplace.
Yeah. And what I love about that, it's not just about doing stuff and creating activity, but it's helping people to stop for a second and have a really strategic, a robust strategic conversation about making sure we're going in the right direction versus just saying, these are the things we're going to do when we hope that they at some point come together and make everything work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that. So two quick questions before we close out today. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you run into a little resistance, or I've heard this from the VP of sales about how is this going to help me with my reps tomorrow? What immediate impact is this, you know, moving toward alignment going to have? What would you say to the VP of sales that may be a little resistant about implementing this type of strategy with the team?
There's one thing that I'm pretty sure, you know, the VP of sales would like to hear, and that is being able to bring the deal home back quickly, and, you know, increasing the size of the deal, and then making sure that, you know, we have longer term relationships with clients. And what I find time and time and again is that when this alignment and this collaboration with sales happens, what happens is, as a result of that, is the deal sizes are going to go up. There will be longer term relationship with the clients, and in most cases, the upsell and cross sell opportunities are positioned right during the prospecting phase of the conversations. So you can actually look at a client and say, you know, yes, this is where we are, this is how much you're spending, but in 3 months' time, we've positioned it in such a way that they will be buying this additional service, and a year down the line, they will be buying this. And there's that kind of client stickiness that happens because you now have not just another deal, but you have a stronger deal in the sense that it's bigger, is a longer term relationship, and, you know, both you and your buyer or your client actually have a view in terms of how this relationship is going to be win-win in the long term.
Nice.
So I hope the sales VP normally likes this conversation. What do you think?
If I was VP of sales, everything you said is exactly what I'm looking for.
Exactly. So we go back to the number and what it takes to make sure that it's not just what's happening tomorrow, but it's actually making sure that it's coming in tomorrow, it's coming in faster, but it's longer term as well.
And I think as we have these conversations, and I know that we're focused on strategy, you know, in this podcast platform and the conversation we're having, but I think we all always need to remember that, you know, the timeline that the VP of sales and the sales teams look at is very short. And they are focused on making sure they hit their numbers. So we all, you know, although strategic conversations are very important, I think that we also, at the end of the day, need to remind ourselves what is the immediate impact to the bottom line so that our sales colleagues can understand why we're doing all this.
So
we'll close out today. I just want to ask your key takeaway. If you were to talk to, you know, sales and marketing and CEO and executive team, what is the one thing they should keep top of mind as they're going about any type of alignment journey? What is that one thing or theme that they need to keep at the forefront of their mind?
Absolutely. So I'll say they should ask, you know, is sales and marketing aligned? And assuming the answer is yes, then they should also ask, what is the key KPI that sales and marketing are supposed to achieve together and that is directly aligned to the CEO? And if they can answer both questions, then yes, they are aligned. If not, then there might be some work to do in terms of alignment and collaboration.
Nice. I think that's a great point to end today. Mm-hmm. Maggie, thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise with our audience.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Don't forget to visit me at jeffdavis2.com and follow me on Twitter at jeff_davis2. Did today's conversation resonate with you? Then share with your colleagues to help the Alignment Podcast grow. Join us for the next episode where we continue to talk about how to create togetherness.